Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan. And this is Come Through, Queen. Well, as you can tell, Brendan is not joining us this week. However, I am lucky to have back a returning guest, none other than Joe Reed himself.
At long last, I've made my way back to Come Through, Queen.
I know we talked early in Traitors about yes. You coming on.
Yeah.
And I like that you are here now to like wrap it up with me.
Totally. Yeah. Because I think I have like slightly different thoughts than I would have at the beginning, just in terms of like the whole venture. Still very positive on it, but like I have like more, you know, nuanced opinions and thoughts on this whole thing.
For sure. Before we get to that though, of course, you're probably like just wrapping up a busy time in your career in terms of Oscar coverage kind of coming to an end right now.
Yeah. We're at the tail end of the Oscars. I'm doing a couple little like sort of like week after kind of stuff. Look ahead to next year a little bit. And then sort of moving on to, you know, the rest of the calendar. And we've still got our podcast, mine and Chris Files' podcast. This at Oscar Buzz will be announcing our theme for our May miniseries soon. Ooh. So we're sort of working on that. We do a special sort of like something different every May.
Yeah,
so this year, we've got something fun in mind, and we'll be announcing that soon. And over at Vulture, I'm doing a game called The Cinematrix, which is this sort of 3x3 grid where you can like guess movies that like fit the parameters of the two axes or whatever. It's very fun. I've had been having a very good time with it. So lots going on. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen so many people talking about your game on Vulture. I've tried it, but I'm just so bad at like movie knowledge.
I get it.
I can appreciate the effort that goes into it and the fact that a lot of people are enjoying it a lot.
Yeah. I'm very happy with the reception, actually. Like I wasn't expecting it to be quite like this. Obviously, you know, the goal is to sort of replicate some of these like, you know, New York Times games or whatever. Yeah. God, if we could get like an app and like the infrastructure that they have with that, I would be in heaven because
Ooh,
I want to be able to like you know, have people have like, you know, a 20-week streak or something like that.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking
of Vulture, though, I do want to also say that you published just within the past like few weeks your annual list of all the Oscar movies ranked. And I got to say, I look forward to that so much every year.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
I don't keep up with like all the movies. Like for me to even watch half of like the Best Picture nominations
is
an accomplishment. So I love learning about these movies I probably have not even heard about from you.
Oh, well,
and getting your take on it. So yeah, I like if people have not been seeing that every year, you need to go and run and watch.
I love doing it. One of my favorite things. I've been doing it for quite a while. And yeah, thank you. That's awesome. I think I saw you had made an effort with Oppenheimer and we appreciate it.
God, I tried my best. I mean, I got to at least give myself credit of watching the whole thing.
Yeah. So see, listen, that works.
Small wins.
Yeah. Small victories. Exactly.
But let's talk about some big victories.
Yes.
Namely Trishel and CT winning the Traitors.
Would not have called it at the beginning of the season. Maybe CT I would have called, but I absolutely was like, oh, Trishel will be gone within the first like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
she usually is.
Even from the trailer, I thought MJ and Sheree would be gone in the first few weeks.
Oh, I remember watching the trailer and I was like, Sheree's not in this. I'm like, does Sheree go out like midway through the first episode? I was very, very like, you know, I was not expecting Sheree to last very long.
The only thing that like held me on for so long was the fact that her one little clip was her firing that crossbow and we just kept not seeing that challenge. And I was like, okay, well, I guess she's safe another week.
For people who are covering it, they sent the first 3 episodes as screeners. And I remember you see the little thumbnails as you go to the site that has the screener videos.
Yeah.
And the thumbnail for the second one was, I can't remember what the setup for the game was, but everybody's name was written on a board or something like that.
Mm.
And it was Sheree's name on a board. And I'm like, well, at least we know Sheree makes it through one episode. I'm like, I remember thinking like, I'm glad at least that'll happen because like, yeah, I did not expect her to last very long. So
yeah,
that was nice. I think she eventually like, glad she eventually figured out what was going on in the last possible second. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a generous take, I would say. So big picture, like Traitors, how did you feel about the season, the players? What were your thoughts?
I really loved the experience of watching it. It's so funny. So I've watched, of all the international versions, I've watched the 2 American seasons, the first season of UK and the first season of Australia. And I kind of can't wait to get into the second season of UK because everybody says it's great.
Yeah.
And I've loved all of them. And yet while saying that, I think I have like kind of major caveats with all of them. I love the first season of Australia, but it takes a while for it to get good. Yeah. I love the first season of UK. And like everybody on that season is a dumb, like a total dumb.
Yeah.
I loved the first season of US, except for like all the normies were bad. And then the ones at the end were total babies about it. And I loved this season and I'm like, but I think maybe the game is broken. So I'm not entirely, it's interesting to watch them play it with, because first season of US, you had Suri and you had like Cody had won Big Brother and Rachel Riley is really good at Big Brother and that kind of thing. But it wasn't like, even among the reality people, it wasn't a season of like masterminds. Mm. And in this one, you had like Dan and Janelle who are like seen as like two of the most strategically savvy Big Brother players ever. Ditto Parvati and Sandra from Survivor. Yeah. And then like you wouldn't really call anybody on the challenge like masterminds, but like Johnny Bananas and CT have won a bajillion challenges, right? So it's like this is very much like all stars of all stars. And then you have people from the Bravo shows and Love Island and whatnot who aren't really in competitions, but like this was like a really, really good cast. And so you watch the game being played by people who have like a mind for strategy. And there was that one episode where Sandra kind of like solved the game when they were in the pool room and she had the pool balls. And she was like, all we have to do is get an alliance of like 5 people and we can have traitors in that alliance. Like, that's kind of fine. But like, we just have to get rid of the faithfuls who are not us and we'll make it to the end. And it's like, yeah, like that is kind of how it is. You don't really kind of don't need to get out the traitors, especially at the beginning. You just have to like get out people who are not you and who are not loyal to you. And it becomes very sort of like, basic survivor, and it's like, which is cool enough, but like, if I'm on the traders, I may be trying to like make actual structural changes to the game for next time to like make the challenges matter more, or like make the murders a little bit more challenging or something that like doesn't allow this kind of thing to happen. Because I think you definitely saw it in this game, even especially early on, there's kind of no incentive very early on in the game to try and find traitors, because A, it's too hard. Nobody's done anything yet to make themselves suspicious.
Yeah.
And B, it's just like, it almost doesn't matter. It's just kind of a matter of a popularity contest, which is why it sucked for Peppermint, because she didn't have any natural allies. So of course she's going to go out first. And there was no real mechanism for her to save herself, because the traitors hadn't done anything to be suspicious yet. So like, there was nothing for her to counter with. So
I do think they like, they did make some positive game changes. Like the shield thing.
Yes.
Helped.
Yep.
Create something for us to work with, you know?
Yes, totally. And I think if they can move more towards that direction and, you know, I think that's good.
The problem is though, if you get traitors out, they just keep coming, because the show needs to be a certain number of episodes long.
Right, right.
So
the game can't just end when you find a traitor. So yes.
Yeah. That's something like inherently wrong with the game. And there's not really any way to fix that.
Right. Right. And I wonder if maybe the fix is like, I don't know. I don't know how you work your way around that. But yeah, you're totally right. That is, and that's why I think it's, that's why I enjoy, say, the US seasons being reality all-stars, because like while the game is a little bit junky, you can still enjoy yourself with, and that's why I like having housewives on it, even though they're not kind of uniformly not good at the game part of the game. Even like Phaedra, who was great, wasn't really good at the traitors. She was good at being on TV, and like that was good enough. But like, I like that entertainment value, you know what I mean?
Did you go into this like thinking one way about any of these cast members and come out thinking about them totally differently?
I never watched Love Island, so I was I ended up liking Bergy quite a bit.
Definitely.
I mean, I went on a real journey with Trishelle. Trishelle Canatella has been in my life for a very, very long time. Since I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
So like, it's, we've had a long journey together, and I've not had much use for her throughout most of her reality TV career. And even this season, she was awful, right? She like, I think there was probably less malice in her than a lot of people maybe pointed in her direction in terms of like getting out Peppermint. Like there's issues of unconscious bias that are at play in why Peppermint got targeted. But I don't think Trishelle was like actively targeting you know, a trans woman of color because she was a trans woman of color, but like that doesn't necessarily mean that, again, that there are not biases at play. But I also feel like, absolutely, if I'm going to pick one person who like played the game the best this season, it's kind of Trishelle. I don't like her, but like I have to kind of give it up for her. Like, I think she played the game really well, and I think she deserved that win. So I was more impressed with her. And I'm trying to think who else I like came out with a different view. I love, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm willing to forgive Phaedra anything, because between, you know, Ultimate Girls Trip and then this, I'm like, well, I'm all the way back in on Phaedra, I guess. So like, that's fine. What about you?
You know, I went into this thinking MJ is going to be an early out. She has she has no strong allegiances. I mean, she's got the Bravo girls, but like, she's not a housewife.
Well, and you saw how quickly Reza went out last time.
Yeah, exactly. So I was so endeared by her.
Were you?
And I was. And then, okay, so I'm not a Survivor person.
Yes.
And we got Parvati and Sandra. And I feel like a lot of the buzz was really around Parvati.
Sure.
I am obsessed with Sandra.
She's the best.
I'm obsessed with her, like, weird, super sincere social media presence and like the interviews that she does out there. Like, she is so sincere.
Well, she's so for somebody who's been on as many seasons of reality TV that she's been on, and like she'll still show up to like all these fan events. It's not like she's like a recluse between seasons.
Yeah.
But she didn't like move to LA to like try and be like a TV host or something like
that. Yeah.
She's still like she's living with her family. She's you know, they're a military family. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they're she still feels very like solidly blue collar. I love that this season she was just like, I'm just going to wear like jeans and a sweatshirt. And like, that's going to be my uniform. And I've got my adult braces now. And she's so down to earth. And the thing that I've said, because I watched this season in a group chat with some people who knew Survivor and some people who didn't. We all had sort of like different levels of expertise with reality shows. Yeah. And to the people who didn't watch Survivor, I'm like, this is the thing about Sandra is she's won Survivor twice and her secret weapon is lowering her threat level for the first three quarters of every season that she's on. Mm. Where like you go in and you're like, I'm going to have to keep an eye on that Sandra. She won twice. And then like within a few weeks, you're like, Sandra's not anybody we need to worry about. She's not going to win. You know what I mean? She's just sort of trudging along and chatting with the housewives and, you know, wearing her jeans. And it's just like, and then by the end of the season, you're like, oh no, like she came real close to winning. I think, I think if she gets past that one more vote, then I think she manages to get to the end and she can like work some magic. So
yeah,
I love her. She's the best.
Okay. So we have a reunion once again hosted by Andy Cohen.
Yes.
What do you make of the reunion? Did you enjoy it? Do we need the reunion?
I think in this case, especially, we needed a reunion. Okay. I think the first season they weren't going to have one and they like clamored for it.
Yeah.
I think Andy was more invested in this one than he was in the last one. You could tell that it was like a last minute thing and he maybe didn't watch the whole season and he had to like catch up quickly and he wasn't particularly well versed in what was going on. He was better this time.
For sure.
He was also, I kind of expected him to be like a little bit more biased towards the housewives and he wasn't exactly, which I appreciated.
Other than Phaedra, of course.
Well, of course. And like every, you know, you're in love with Phaedra. That's fine. Like, you know, that makes all the sense in the world. I think especially the way it ended with Trishel and CT cutting MJ at the very end, you needed to have that postmortem at the very least. That was a very like Bravo friendly way to end that. And then, of course, it comes in. This is what I think is fascinating. And like, I'm curious to hear what your perspective on is on it from somebody who sort of enters this thing as a Bravo person primarily is I think one of the sort of like low key themes of the whole season was not every reality TV personality comes from the same, like reality TV is several different genres in one. And you have Bravo reality, you have competitive reality, and then you also have like Peppermint coming from like competitive reality, but it's not elimination based or it's not like vote out based. It's a talent show. So like Peppermint comes on and, you know, her thing is I want to show out as best I can for being a Black trans woman. And but she doesn't have experience of like cutthroat gaming. So she doesn't quite know that like starting a funny fight with somebody else on the first day is something that's probably not worth doing because if they take it wrong, you've made yourself conspicuous.
And
that's not something you want to do right away. So like that's not her experience. And I think you saw in the end with MJ and Trishel and CT, for one thing, I think the fatal flaw at round top six or so was they let Trishel and CT, that whole group allowed Trishel and CT to make it too far together. They needed to break those two up at the very least. Even if you didn't think they were like besties, you knew they were from the same show. So like in the same way I would have thought to break up Sheree and Phaedra, I would have thought to break up Trishel and CT.
I think Kate's mistake was getting rid of Sheree and keeping one of the challengers.
Absolutely. And so then you get to the final three, and my thing, so at final four, when it was them, there was those three and Kate. And Kate is like, has given up by that point because like she votes to end the game, even though somebody had just eliminated Sheree or whatever. So it's just like, okay, well, like, I don't understand. And then she tried to sell it in the press later on. It's just like, oh yeah, I was like on purpose, like giving up. I was like, no, you weren't. You just didn't.
I know.
But I was like, MJ, you need to vote with Kate here. MJ, you know Kate's a traitor, but your only chance to win money here is to get rid of one of CT and Trishel, because if you end up in a final three with CT and Trishel, they will eliminate you. That was not a surprise to me that they got rid of her. I don't know if it was supposed to be a surprise to the audience. It sure was a surprise to MJ.
Well,
but
I mean,
I never thought for a moment that they were going to just end the game with three, with those two and MJ.
I mean, the fact that they had to do the tiebreaker, though.
That was a surprise that Trishel voted for CT. That definitely was a surprise.
Yeah.
And that makes me think like, oh, well, there was, you know, something else going on. And that even more then, I'm thinking, if that's the case, MJ needed to try, as soon as you saw that the votes were split that way, MJ needed to try to go to Trishel and just be like, you know what? You're right. You've convinced me. I do think CT might be a traitor. We can't take this chance. We've got to vote for him. And MJ was not quick enough in that moment. So like, there are ways that MJ, this could have gone better for MJ. And so that's why when she was so whiny about it at the end, I'm like, yeah, like you got snaked, but A, this is a game called The Traitors. And B, you had ways to not end up in this position. And so I didn't have a whole ton of sympathy for her by the end.
Yeah. No, but I did enjoy the non-competition reality people kind of coming in with a grudge or like an axe to grind. Like I thought that made the reunion a little bit more interesting. Like, well, the gamers have the right outlook, but it's like, that doesn't make for an interesting Bravo reunion, you know?
Well, and it's also, again, they're coming from two different types of TV shows. On competitive shows, getting beat like that is, you can take it as a compliment, a badge of honor, game well played. People still get salty about it, but they know that they shouldn't be too salty. But with Housewives, holding a grudge at the reunion is currency. Like, that's good. You want to do that. These people are encouraged to hold grudges. So like, it's just a different game that they're all playing. And while I agreed with like John Bercow at the end, who was like, listen, you know, it was a game and you got beat and you're being a little bit of a baby about it. But like, you're not wrong in the idea that like the Housewives, this is the game that they play. They come into the reunion and say, you know, this is my axe to grind, and I'm going to grind it for the next several hours.
So,
yeah.
I'm sure you're looking forward to next season. Is there anything you like specifically want changed? Is there anyone you want to play the game? What are you feeling?
The one I've said for the last 2 years is I want Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank to be on. Well, they had Phaedra, so I feel like, well, now you have to have Candy Burris. I feel like they've, you know, that to me is, you know, no brainer. Tim Gunn, I think, would be an amazing person at the Traitors. Who else did I say from Bravo? Candace Dillard Bassett, I think,
of course,
is perfect. I think Sutton would be such a nervous Nelly at the Traitors, but I would find that to be very funny. Yeah. We'll talk about Lindsay Hubbard in a bit, but I think Lindsay would be an interesting, you know, rebound assignment for Lindsay.
Well, she was supposed to be on this season.
Yes, she was. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I think Sheena Shea would be great at this. I think
she doesn't get Dancing with the Stars, but she gets Traitor.
And I think they should probably get like Bravo, like, you know, some of the men from Bravo too. I think Joe Gorga has been trying to have his own show on Jersey forever. Let him have this.
Yeah.
Jeff Lewis would be a terror. There's some people from Big Brother, Danielle Reyes and Kaser Rita from Big Brother. I would love Jerry Manthe from the second season of Survivor. Would be fantastic. Wes and Sarah from The Challenge. I would love. Trixie Mattel and or T.S. Madison from Drag Race, I think, would be awesome at it. I think any number of drag queens, but like especially those ones.
But you definitely need not one drag queen. Like, if you're going to do it, let's do two.
Or, like, not just one queer person in general. Like, that was the other thing. Is like, she really was on an island out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I also said Bobby Flay, because Bobby Flay's whole thing is that, like, people on Food Network want to beat him and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is just like, don't you think Bobby Flay's annoying? That's, like, every TV show starring him. So I think he would be kind of amazing. Also, Marshawn Lynch, if you're choosing an athlete, I think he would be great.
Okay.
So yeah, I have thoughts. Peacock, get at me. I have thoughts. So, yeah.
Okay.
What about you? Anybody that you're dying for?
Well, I mean, like, you mentioned Candace. That's like one of my big ones.
Oh yeah.
Brendan and I actually did a bonus episode last week. We each cast 22 traitors.
Perfect.
It's been in the Patreon bonus episode. I think I'm going to post it to Instagram, this weekend.
You should.
But I would love, if we're going to do another Bravo couple, a Paige DeSorbo, Craig Conover.
Oh,
couple.
Sure. Yeah, that would work. Yep.
That would be fun. I also mentioned wanting, I feel like Dorinda is bound to do it.
Yes.
But what would like set Dorinda on edge a little bit? New New York housewife.
Oh.
In Whitfield there.
Oh, there would be dead bodies getting carted out of that. Yes, like the murders would be real in that case. Oh my God. Totally. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a lot of ideas there.
Good.
In terms of just changing the game, I just like, I want us to be able to have things to go on for like picking a traitor.
Yes.
Like it would be great if the traitors, if they like screwed up a challenge, they win something. And now like we're looking for at challenge performance more.
Also, I think voting out a traitor should get the group more money. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would be, I think that would help things out too. And like, and every week that they don't vote a traitor, you lose money from the pot. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We touched on Lizzie Hubbard for a moment. Why don't we go full Hub House over on Summer House?
Okay.
What are you thinking about this fresh season 8?
So I watched the first 3 episodes like back to back to back. I crammed. My thing with Lindsay Hubbard is that I root for her, and sometimes she does not make that easy.
Yeah, and this so, might be the hardest time to be rooting for
this
her.
This is a real hard time to be a Lindsay Hubbard supporter. But my other thing is, I love Carl the way you love Kyle, I think, and that like I don't want to talk about the things that aren't, you know, when he's not great. I would like to not talk about it.
Yeah, you don't see it. Yeah.
I don't see it. And I want him to be happy. And I don't like it when people make him sad. Mm. And I think the thing with Lindsay being like, this is cocaine Carl behavior. And I know she was drunk, but like, it's so, unless there are things happening off camera that are giving her a really good reason to say this, which it doesn't sound like they are, because she very quickly on camera was like, no, I don't believe, I don't think he was.
Yeah.
It's too far. It's too much. You can't just like wield that like any old weapon. It's the same thing that I thought of, and we'll get to Beverly Hills, I guess. But when Garcelle was like, to Dorit, was like, I believe you were held at gunpoint, but some things are a little bit, you know, convenient. And I'm like, that's too much of a weapon. You can't just casually like call into question the thing where she was armed, robbed at gunpoint. Like you just like, you can't use that as a gotcha in any way unless you really want to make an accusation. And so when Lindsay did that, I'm like, oh, well now like you've kind of lost the game. And I root for her. I was glad. I was happy to see that she and Danielle were back on better terms, even though I definitely think Danielle was the one in the wrong. That. And yet then she goes and throws Danielle under the bus for the Paige and Craig thing. And I'm like, and you know, if Danielle did it, then Danielle should probably have to like, you know, face up to it. But it also just makes it look like Lindsay's trying to like, you know, throw her under the bus. And it's a bad look. It's a bad look. She looks like somebody who, and then the thing where like, again, even when she's right, like she's right about the brick and mortar thing. You don't want to like go casually opening a restaurant with the worst idea possible, which is a non-alcoholic sports bar. I'm like, God bless, you know, that is your journey, whatever. But like, I just think you're going to have a hard time making money there. So she's not wrong. But the way she's just like, that's going to be a no from me. I don't like that for our family. And I'm like, you have to like at least have a conversation about this. You can't just shoot his ideas down. You're making Carl look sad. I don't like that. And knowing where this goes, that's the other thing, is like, it's tough to watch these seasons when it's like, well, we've known for months that like they're broken up. So it's easy now to be like, well, that's why you're broken up. Like, there's your problem right there, is Lindsay's acting like a psychopath.
I wasn't so sure that like we would see it throughout this season, because part of the narrative was like, oh my God, this was a blindside. This was a surprise.
Yes.
It's like, this was not a blindside.
No. Not if this is what, not if this is what they're starting with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh boy. The other thing is, so the camera isn't there in the car for like whatever tone Carl used with Lindsay that was so beyond the pale that she's like, you were attacking me. That was vicious. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess there's a possibility that like in that short span of time, he like said something really mean to her and Kyle like isn't going to bust him on it or whatever.
Yeah.
And whoever else was in the car, Jesse, we'll talk about that in a second. But I think it's much, much more likely that like he said something that was maybe a little bit dismissive and she was like, I can't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and
there was a little bit of chatter online of like, oh my God, why do we not have cameras in these cars? Like, we should not be missing this, blah, blah, blah. I actually kind of find it fascinating to like talk about it and miss that part.
Yes.
It's like not that critical that we didn't see it. And then also that gives these people an opportunity to like let their guard down a little bit.
Yes.
This is a show that is filmed like around the clock. It's not
we see every
cameras go down.
We see every night vision shot of, you know, Kyle's booty or whatever in the
cuddling with West. Oh my God. I love West winning. I love West.
I have to say. Well,
you mentioned my like blind love for Kyle.
Yeah.
I think there might be like a new chief in town.
Oh wow. Big news.
I'm loving West. West
I really
is,
am. Yeah.
West is like Dorinda joining New York, Shannon Bedore joining Orange County.
Uh-huh.
It's like, how was this show here without you?
It does feel like he's been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like much, much longer than Jesse, even though he's been on the show 10 minutes longer than Jesse. Like,
and Jesse's not doing bad by any means.
No,
I think two strong men coming in at the same time is like what Summer House has needed for years.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
This is like when Paige and Hannah joined. Like they came
yes.
into that work.
Yes. And could not be coming at a more crucial time too, because like it's zhuzhing up Paige and Sierra a little bit. You know what I mean? It's sort of like waking them up from their slumber, which is good because I had really been over those two. And like it's good to see them engaged and stuff now, which is nice.
I mean, Sierra has not been so alive since like her first
season. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very refreshing to see. Especially because, and again, I know I'm wading into choppy waters with you, but like just the take this for what it is.
Yeah.
It was very underwhelming to see that like for the fourth or fifth season in a row, the very first episode of the season is Amanda being like, oh my God, Kyle is so annoying. Like it does really seem that Amanda looks forward to these seasons so that like this is her opportunity to like go and bitch about Kyle to other people. And it's like, it just is kind of the same tune. And
yeah,
I just, every season I'm like, you guys are such a bad couple. I don't think that you work. I thank God someone's dragging their feet when it comes to having children, because like, I don't think that they should.
And so my galaxy brain was that they put on that show, that first episode, because Lindsay and Carl were not in the house. So like, Kyle is master producer. He's been on the show for all 8 seasons. Like, let's give the people something, you know.
let's play the hits. And yeah, and the hits is seriously.
No, but I do think like while their storyline can get a little tired, I do think Kyle is like one of the best on the show in terms of like dipping into everyone else's stories.
Yes, he's very good at that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like very great scene partner.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And we'll facilitate, and he's got, you know, he'll have the conversation with Jesse by the P chairs and he'll, you know, I think that's very true. He takes the job of actor producer seriously, which is
good. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the other thing, by the way, dipping back to the Traitors Reunion for one quick second.
Yeah.
The thing where Parvati was like, the housewives are performers. I think that was taken in a way where, and Andy Cohen was like, no, they're like, trust me when I say I'm around them all the time. This is how they're like. And I'm like, yeah. And how they are like is performers. Just because they are performers all the time doesn't mean that they're not performers. Like, they're constantly performing. That is the whole thing. So I was like, Poverty's not wrong. She's, you know, it's more nuanced than that, maybe, but like, she's not wrong.
Oh yeah, no, but Andy just wants to like push the narrative of like, no, this is real. It's like, no, we get it. It's real. We got it.
It's real, like, in that like being on reality TV for so long has warped these people, much like the people in Dune have gotten blue eyes or whatever from being around the Spice so long. Being on Bravo for so long has turned these women into 24/7 actresses. And that's just sort of the way it is.
Yeah. Speaking of being on Bravo for so long, why don't we just dip a toe into Potomac?
Okay.
We are wrapping up the season. I was actually shocked at the end of this episode that the tease for next week was like, and next week on the season finale of Potomac, like, no, it was just like another normal episode.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so next week's episode is episode 17, which would mean finale is at the earliest 18, which means we're going like over 20 episodes, including the reunion, which is wild.
I've watched a couple episodes this season. For a brief moment, Potomac was like my favorite of all of the shows about two seasons ago or whatever. And like, and the Candace and Monique fight and the rest of that season, to me got ugly in the fandom because there were so many people supporting Monique and saying that like Candace deserved to get hit. And I was like, well, that's wrong. And then so quickly then in that next season, Giselle said the thing about Chris Ballard. And I'm like, and I love Giselle and I love Robin and I love their friendship. And I didn't want to watch them downfall. And I know that like the fandom turned on them and like Let's Culturistas turned on them. And I think that like changed the game because like they're very much Wendy people and I'm very much not a Wendy person. and it's like, I can acknowledge that like, yes, Giselle shouldn't have done that. And Robin, like, did like 12 dumb things. But I don't want to like relish in their downfall. And I almost want to like come back to the show maybe when they've like done a cast, you know, refresh. But I also don't think the show for me is going to be as fun without like Giselle and Karen being like frenemies for life. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's so much of the spark of the show for me. But I also like, I let Giselle get away with murder and I get it.
Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. This week actually had like a fun Giselle Karen one-on-one scene. And like,
they're so fun together. I love
that. That has been a highlight of the season, is like Giselle and Karen getting along, but still like playing with each other.
Right. You know what I mean? They are acting all the time and they know it and they know what works best with them. And they give it to us.
Yeah. The reunion has filmed. I do think this is a season and a cast where like what happens in this reunion matters a lot. Like what happened in the Beverly Hills reunion and like the Miami reunion isn't so make or break for the show.
Yeah, this is
the
a
cast.
Turning point maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see like where that goes.
Yeah.
The tease for next week also did include, I don't know if you recall this while it was filming, but there was a big scuffle among
I saw that on social media, like a fight. Yeah,
friends of and like even like the next level below friends of, like,
oh wow,
a guest appearance or whatever. So there was like talk of like, oh, will they show this or will they not show it, because it didn't seem like there were cameras, but maybe there was like someone recording or something. So that is going to be heading our way next week. I'm just like, at this point I'm just like checking in on them and waiting to see what happens at the reunion.
Yeah. I think I called him Chris Ballard. And of course I know his name is Chris Bassett. I'm very sorry.
Oh yes, yes, yes. It's Chris Bassett. Of course.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, why don't we head on over to Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Which I might be like half an episode behind on, so like fill me in if I'd say anything that's not currently up to date.
Sure, sure.
I find this season fascinating, but also not fun so far.
Okay, go on.
I think obviously like from a, you know, curiosity level to watch where they pivot from the Scandoval is important. How they all like are going to function as a show together is important. I also, from watching the trailer before the season started, and this was sort of a thing that I was wondering about even after the reunions, where I was like, at some point, if left unchecked, Ariana's going to like step out past the boundary a little bit and like get a little too comfortable in the part where everybody always agrees with her.
Yeah,
is going to maybe get a little bit too big for her britches. Listen, to caveat this.
Yeah.
I am not I have hated Tom Sandoval longer than most people have hated Tom Sandoval.
Like my out of your time.
My Tom Sandoval bona fides are secure. I do every single time I try and like make a defense of him. He'll like do something and I'm like, oh, right. Like you like he'll compare himself to like the guy in the Shawshank Redemption or whatever. And I'm just fucking Christ. But I also feel like I'm like Ariana, it is a crucial miscalculation of this show to assume that everybody is going to be on your side forever, because the whole show is predicated on the fact that like these people are fucking fickle as hell. And like there's no real, everybody talks about loyalty, but there's no like actual real loyalty. And so when Ariana starts going and like dictating who can hang out with who and like who can spend time with who, I'm like, this is bound to fail. Like this backlash is going to happen. I also feel like on some level, the way she got cheated on was like egregious and really, really bad. But like, you're not the first person whose boyfriend has ever cheated on her. And also you dated that man on purpose for like many years. And so I think that those are crucial, you know, things to keep in mind. And, but Katie is like this, like self-reinforced, you know what I mean? They like, they bounce off of each other and they just like, assure each other that they're right about this sort of thing. And I'm like, this is going to end badly.
Well, cause Katie like hates everyone on the show.
Yes.
And now she has someone
she's righteous
everyone with.
Yes. Yes.
Like, not that she likes Ariana, but like now they can hate everyone together.
There is no drug quite as intoxicating as like having a good reason to hate somebody. And so like, and these people are getting high off of it. Mm. And so, and I think you're seeing with some of these people with like, with Lala and with Sheena, they are, I think Lala's just like, I think Lala gets bored quickly. And Lala's like, I'm kind of bored about the thing where like Ariana's always right and Sandoval's always the worst. And like, now I'm just going to like chat with Tom Schwartz because I want to, and it's something different to do. And that's fine.
I
think
like
Sheena
is
like, oh, like, it's like not fun. It's like it's not in my best interest to, you know, cut off any kind of like, I'm not going to not go to this Tahoe thing because the Tahoe thing is where the show is and I need to be where the show is. I'm not going to like not film scenes because Tom Sandoval is there. And so that's like the crack in the ice for her. And then like at some like they're all going to be on speaking terms with Tom Sandoval by the end of this season. They just are. Yeah. Everybody but Katie and Ariana.
But even from the mid-season trailer, we see like Ariana is now filming in spaces and rooms with Tom Sandoval.
Yeah.
Because it, like you mentioned earlier, it is a miscalculation to say like nobody can hang out with like this person or this person.
Yeah.
Because this cast is very small at this point. Yeah. There was once upon a time where like the opening credits were 20 people and maybe this
it's only three screens of opening credits and there's only maximum three people like in each screen. It's just not enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think Lala is like, I am not a Lala fan, but she is playing the game of the season better than anyone else. Like she's willing to dip and do with anything.
I texted a friend last night as I was watching and I said, it doesn't happen often, but I love the seasons where Lala is the voice of reason. And it's only happened like twice, but like those are my favorite seasons because she has a way of being the voice of reason that just sounds incredibly obvious. And she's just like, well, yeah, like, of course. And I really like that scene of her and Schwartz talking by the pool where they were like, talking like actual people and like that didn't have agendas and didn't have weird stuff. Oh, right. Like people can actually like be decent and not weird to each other on the show. Yeah. Okay.
I loved Christina Kelly holding court. Brendan and I are Christina Kelly super fans.
I love her.
And we were worried, like, are we not even going to see like a single scene with her? And we had her, Katie, Sheena and Lala. And that was like the beginning of like the, Sheena, like everyone's not being nice to me.
It always comes around to the same. It's like these dynamics are cyclical and they happen the same way every time. Is if there's four or more people in a group that includes Sheena, three of them will be like against Sheena. And it's just sort of, it just sort of happens that way.
Oh my God.
I also wonder, I have very mixed feelings about things like Kristen being on a spinoff. Okay. Because I like Kristen, but I feel like she's probably best served not being on these shows anymore.
Sure.
But I do want at some point Stassi to roll through and just be like, well, I said Tom Sandoval was a narcissist way before anybody else did. And then just sort of like waltz out again.
So two things on that. First, I am pretty confident at this point that we won't ever see Stassi again.
If we haven't by now, I don't think we will. Like,
yeah.
If we haven't like even heard a peep from her, and I don't think we have, I don't think we're ever getting Stassi.
I think she is making good money doing what she's doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's number one. And then number two, The Valley dropped, I think, an additional trailer this week. Like, I think there was already a trailer, maybe a new trailer that came out after the Jackson Brittany. Like,
I was going to say, does it reflect the Jackson Brittany stuff?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah. And then to add to that, I'm not really an after show person.
Yeah.
But they have like these, like they do Beverly Hills after show. They do it for pretty much every show at this point, except like, I don't think they do it for Summer House.
Yeah.
And it airs on Peacock now. This week's Vanderpump Rules after show had Brittany, Duty, Jax in three separate groups. Like Brittany,
gotcha.
It was Jackson, like Schwartz and Sandoval. It was Kristen and like someone, and then like Kristen and Sheena, and then it was Brittany and Lala, maybe. So like that was fascinating because it's almost like, this is Vanderpump Rules.
Right. Like, why are we bothering with The Valley? You're just gonna all come back at Vanderpump anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay, actually, this is kind of fascinating. Let me like and stop me if it's gonna take too much time.
No.
To hear you say that you're not really into after shows, do you feel the way I feel, which is between Watch What Happens Live and the after shows, and also like the Bravo web extras where they like, you know, which is essentially same as like an after show or whatever.
Yeah.
On top of things like Instagram and whatever, have we reached a point where too much is happening in ancillary areas and not on the show? Because I feel like 90% of drama on these shows, they have to end up being like, well, this is because of a thing that Sutton said on you know, the after show, or this is because of a thing that, you know, that Tom Sandoval said on Instagram or whatever.
I mean, I don't care for that reason. I don't care for the reason that it like truly makes this a full-time job. As if like not watching the shows alone did not feel like a full-time job as it is.
Yes.
And then it like takes the air out of the tires a little bit for the reunions, which is why we're seeing more of like Kathy Hilton's on the reunion. Nicki Minaj is hosting the reunion.
They need to like zhuzh it up.
They need to like do something on the reunion to like make people interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a little.
They need to like keep some mystery, keep a little. I know that they can't like stop people from interacting off of the show, but like you don't need to give them the platform to do it so much.
And that's on top of everyone's got a podcast.
That's the other thing. Yeah. It really does. It becomes like a whole multimedia project.
Yeah.
And I
do think there used to be like a tighter rule on not talking about the show on your podcast.
Yeah.
But they've completely like let that go now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why at the beginning of every season, it's like you just like shuffle the deck. You don't know who's going to be on whose side if you don't follow all of these things, which I don't. I mostly just like only watch the shows. Even like the Watch What Happens Live stuff is like rare for me. So it's like you go into a new season and it's like, oh, Kyle and Sutton have beef. Why? I don't remember. I'll just like let them like also start fresh. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Yeah, like they don't like each other now. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, Pump, it's like, I am like appreciating aspects of it.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going. It does seem from the trailers of The Valley, like that is more stuff is happening in these people's lives versus Pump is stuff is happening because we're on a reality TV show.
Yes. Do you feel like between the dog and the pool and whatnot that like, I feel like I'm being forced to like James Kennedy against my will.
Ooh,
to the point where like I'm very pro James Kennedy. And then I step back and I'm like, why has this happened?
So the dog thing is actually like a psyop concocted by LVP.
I believe it. I believe
because like the full story, and I dropped off Rachel Goes Rogue, but I was listening to like the first four or five episodes.
Okay.
And she tells a fuller story of like,
I'm sure
the reason Graham had behavioral issues is because like James Kennedy was essentially abusing the dog. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah, that's the horse like, of a different color. All right.
Like the dog is biting people because James Kennedy would tease the dog and like
raising him to do dog fights and whatnot,
like encourage like the dog to like bite James's hand and like all kinds of crazy shit.
Okay.
And,
that all fits that tracks.
Yeah. So like now it's making a little bit more sense and most of the audience does not know this is going on, but we're like, oh my God, James, he loved that dog so much. And like Rachel kept the dog and then
what kind of a person
in the gutter and like thank God for saving Lisa
Vanderpump was driving by and found this dog in the gutter and had to rescue. Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Exactly So Lisa and
again, this is what makes us have to be like against our will, be like, oh, Tom Sandoval has a point, where Tom Sandoval's like, there's more of the story to this, I'm not going to bring it up now. And it's like, well, I'm sure there is more to the story than this. And then he'll like do something like, I don't know. What did he do the other day? It was there was the Shawshank thing, but then there was one other thing where it was like, you need to stop talking. And like,
oh no, it was George Floyd.
Well that Jesus. Yeah. Yes. That one. But it was also, do you watch that show After Midnight or ever watch clips of that show After Midnight? The late night show on CBS, the Taylor Tomlinson hosts. It's pretty funny, but they showed a clip of Tom Sandoval talking about how every year on your birthday, you should donate $100 to a homeless person. And the way that I've like figured out to do it to like not seem like it's self-serving is you go and you're like, hey, what's up, man? And like slap fives with the guy and like sneak him the $100 as you do it and whatever. And I'm just like, you sound like the biggest fucking douchebag in the entire world. Like,
God. You need to just...
stop this. It's
Worst. Ugh. Yeah. Okay. I think let's put a pin in Pump.
Okay.
And head on over to Beverly Hills. Part of the reunion.
Can I say about that set, that reunion set that made it look like they were like overlooking like the hills or whatever?
Yeah.
For just like a drop back, like that was pretty effective, I thought. That it made the room look like twice as big as it was. I liked
that. I don't know if you're an Orange County person, but this was essentially the same reunion, quote unquote, set as Orange County, because they used this same huge screen, but instead it was like a gorgeous Orange County beachfront moment.
I liked
it. And that was even more impressive than this, actually. Like,
I thought it was good. Okay. Beverly Hills. Again, I watched the last two episodes of the reunion like yesterday because I was backed up. So for like, I was stewing on that season finale for a while, where it was like the thing where they come back after a few months and the news has broken and everybody's texting or whatever. And then Kyle and Mauricio bring out the daughters into the living room to have that conversation. And I about lost. I was like, that's the last. I've been very anti-Kyle all this season because it's been very heavy-handed the way that she's been obviously self-producing this whole divorce storyline and very much like forcing the level of conversation she wants to have about it and sort of like planting the thing about the tattoos and the thing about whatever and like walking us all up to the doorstep, but Sutton's not allowed to say anything about it and Garcelle's not allowed to make a remark about it and Dorit's not allowed to talk about it beyond like the most elliptical terms, and then the story breaks and she's gonna drag her daughters in front of the camera to like make them relive this whole thing. I'm like, you're an absolute monster of a person. I genuinely feel like,
I mean, it's so funny because like in the final part of the reunion she doesn't want to say the reason or blah 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 to protect her family, but meanwhile we're having a family meeting. Like this could have been a one-on-one conversation between you and Mauricio.
Yes. This did not have to lay out this way. Like, and you know that, like, also the other thing where she's just like, I've been on this show for 13 years and I've like, when she's talking about how like Sutton doesn't, you know, give up parts of her life beyond the fact that she bought a horse and made out with a cab driver or whatever. Or no, she went on a date cause she wouldn't talk about the cab driver. But it's like, you've been on the show for 13 years and you have like held on to this show with like both hands. And you've done so by like voluntarily showing these parts of your life. Nobody forced you to do this. And in the meantime, you've like thrown your sister's drinking problem under the bus repeatedly. And you've sort of like brought out other people's dirty laundry. And you were, you know, part of the group that brought out Yolanda's Lyme disease and whatnot. It's just like, you know how this game is played. Now that you are getting divorced, you can't suddenly claim like, this is my own private business and how dare you, you know, make these insinuations about my marriage or whatever. Like, it's so hypocritical.
Have you seen, I have not watched an episode of the show, but I've seen the clips. Mauricio's Netflix series
I don't find Mauricio interesting enough to watch a whole show about Mauricio.
No, I definitely do not either. But I guess the season two is premiering this weekend, probably.
Okay.
And they've been releasing clips. Number one, the first clip that they released maybe a month ago was Mauricio sitting down with the three eldest daughters and talking about the relationship.
Yes.
So they essentially were trotted out on two different shows.
Yeah.
Okay, and then a clip that was released this week is Mauricio talking to, like, I guess other people in the agency and talking about what went down with him leaving Hilton and Highland.
Which they, like, dip into a little bit for the first time on the reunion this time.
Yeah, but in both instances, we're getting more on the Netflix show
than we are on
about Kyle Richards than we are getting on Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Well, and again, for as much as she's like, she dragged Denise Richards through the mud for not saying enough about things. And like, she's essentially, she's shutting down topics on the reunion or whatever. And she's like, no, we're not talking about that. And like, it's, you know, it's now all of a sudden the rules are very different. Also, can I say about Kathy, bringing out Kathy, it is wild to me that this show was able to so successfully for like a season and a half sell Kathy Hilton as this like harmless, funny, goofy, like kind of like batty old woman. She's the most terrifying person I've ever seen, this version of Kathy, now that we like have like Kathy Unleashed now, where she's like giving Sutton panic attacks by like laserizing her for like across the way and whatever. It's just I think she's so scary.
So she's trotting out for this part. I'll give to her that there were parts where I was laughing at. Like, she is
sure
still goofy. However, I randomly dipped into Paris Is in Love season 2, like a month ago, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And that's the show that when she does press, she's like, oh yeah, I'm like focusing my efforts on that. It's like more fun, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I watched it. Kathy comes across a monster on that show.
Yeah.
Like, truly a completely different person than like the goofy character that's on Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And it's like crazy to me that she's proud of that performance.
Yes.
I mean, they definitely are afraid of Kathy, both
yes
Kim and Kyle.
And I think it goes beyond like social ostracizing and whatnot, like,
yeah,
or money. Like, I think I do feel like there is some sort of like actual like deep seated childhood intimidation stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sutton and Garcelle are gone this part, essentially.
I watching the preview, I'm like, okay, this will be like a thing. And by the end of the commercial break, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
What is going on in Beverly Hills with the blood pressure epidemic that is happening between Crystal and now Sutton? And it's like, you know how there's those stories about, there was actually one not too far from where I live in Buffalo, sort of closer to Rochester a few years ago. Those stories were like a group of young girls in like junior high would start having like psychosomatic seizures and stuff like that, or like,
oh, wow,
would start, you know, like lose the ability to speak or whatever. And it was unexplained by a medical reason. And they were like, is there like a chemical, you know, release somebody? Is there and they were like, the best that we can tell is this some sort of like mass group sort of like psychological, like follow the leader kind of a thing, where
like a group think,
right? Yeah. Sort of like, you ever see The Crucible when they like they all start like hysterically like freaking out or whatever, like that kind of like group hysteria. That's the best that I can explain how what happened to Sutton on that reunion, where it was like she remembered what Crystal went through and she needed to get out of her situation because Kathy was about to like murder her or something. And because Kathy did say like, I was about to go after her next. And you could tell by like the way that like Sutton was looking when Kathy was coming out on stage. And she's like gave herself, like she raised her own blood pressure psychosomatically. I don't know how she did it. She's a witch or something. It's great.
I'm not sure we've ever seen this before of like a few housewives not making it to the end of a reunion.
Right.
I can't remember something like this happening.
Well, and I like how Garcelle was like, well, I'm getting out of here too, because like, I don't want to be part of this. So like, this is fine.
It's funny that we shift couches. We have Anna Marie joining Crystal getting first chair for a little while, but we're essentially like,
that alignment was very funny for me because it was like, I like when you can like read the politics of it very quickly, where it's like, Anna Marie, you're like last hired, first fired. So you're going to have to go over to the other couch, even though you and Crystal hate each other. And Crystal, you can move towards Andy and there can be like the space that a person would occupy between them. So like she doesn't have to sit next to Anna Marie, when it might have made more sense for like Dorit to go over. But Dorit was pulled rank and was like, I earned this space on the good couch with Kyle and Kathy and Erica, and I'm not budging. I thought that was all very interesting, the way that probably went down.
We're essentially like focusing on one couch for an entire episode.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, Crystal is chiming in. I'm not sure Anna Marie said a word this episode.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But
she kept trying to like, during the Sutton part, she kept trying to like ratchet up that, like, she kept being like, no, we should call 911 and we should, you know, this is really bad. And it's like, okay, Anna Marie, like, Jesus. I thought that was funny. Erica and Kathy doing the like Statler and Waldorf sort of stuff, like while they're showing clips, I thought was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty good part to the reunion. The letdown though is like Kyle, like white knuckling her final line of questioning of just like,
yes,
like not giving clear answers, but then like in not giving clear answers, people are getting an answer.
I think she so desperately wants to control this narrative. And this is the part where she knows that if she like, I think it's not to her advantage to be on Reunion making accusations about like infidelity or whatever, because they're going through a process. So she's going to allow you to think it, but she's also going to be like, I won't be talking about that. And I think the stuff with Morgan is probably the same kind of thing where like she, you know, by like pregnant pauses and whatnot, she sort of allows us to think what we are thinking. But then she's like, I love her like a friend. It's like,
yeah.
All right, Kyle. I don't know.
I mean, I do think something that's not being said out loud on this is the eventual divorce is like a high stakes, lots of money,
a lot of money
involved divorce. Like, this is not going to be an easy breezy, like, let's leave what we came in with. Like, this is a lot of money at stake.
Well, and if, and there are like, there are definite claims of he wouldn't have the money and stature that he's in without her. And and yet also he can probably say the same thing about her because her position on Housewives is incumbent on her being like a family mom. You know what I mean? You know, so much of these shows are dependent on this image of most of these women as being like married and had children and whatnot. Yeah. And so, they are kind of like, this is going to be a very, I think, messy settlement at the very least.
Wow.
Lots happening. Thoughts on Dorit's outfit? Cause I know I want to have this conversation very briefly because.
So I used to be like a Dorit super fan. Like, I think the fact that I've soured on her made me less enthralled by the costumery this go around. So I'm like, okay, you gave it a shot. I guess like what annoys me with Beverly Hills is like, we don't have the cohesion that we have on say Miami, like Miami, everyone's dressed differently, but it feels like we're going to the same party.
Sure. I should watch. I should get into Miami. That's I never got back into it when they rebooted it. So,
Did you watch the original?
No, I didn't do that either.
You don't need to. You can just jump into season four.
I really didn't care for Larsa on The Traitors. Is that gonna like affect things?
Okay, so I didn't care for Larsa on Miami, and then she charmed me on The Traitors.
Okay.
But then more Miami episodes aired after she left Traitors. And then I hate her all over again.
Okay.
But like, she's a good one to hate. Like, you're she's not going to feel bad about hating her.
Yeah. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing about Beverly Hills that I want to ask you. What do you make of the fact that the show has really, like, allowed itself to, like, eagerly throw Lisa Vanderpump under the bus as often as it does?
It is kind of funny, like this week, this year, this season.
They feel very emboldened about it.
They're constantly making fun of Lisa.
They did it at the white party, which I thought was like, I thought that was a little bit rich, where Kyle was like, I know one person who would make this party all about herself. It's like, Kyle, like,
girl,
this is not all about you. Like, come on now. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? But then like Andy at the end was like the real queen of Beverly Hills, Kathy Hilton. And then he like actually said like not Lisa Vanderpump. I was like, okay, like I guess business relations are frosty between Andy Cohen and Lisa.
I did check Wiki, not that it's necessarily Bible. Like I want to like keep my eyes peeled for credits. I was curious to see, is Lisa Vanderpump an executive producer of The Valley? And it appears as though she is.
Okay. Well, then that makes it all the stranger then that Andy seems to be... You know, that's bold, I think, actively antagonize a talent who has two other shows on your network currently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Lots to get into. I loved this conversation. Thank you.
Oh my God. What a week of shows.
What a week.
We do have a Freak of the Week and the One True Queen. Our Freak of the Week this week is we do have our eyes peeled on what's going on over in Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, Portia famously announced her returned to Atlanta saying that, well, the rumors that Portia Williams is coming back to Atlanta are not true, but Portia Gubadia is excited to be back and like holding her peach. Not a week later, she files for divorce. and the freak this week is her soon-to-be ex-husband posting on an Instagram story the following. He writes, "If you are behind Portia filing for divorce, please step up and own her mental state of mind. Hashtag dumbass." I mean, he is a mess.
I don't know what that even means, but it feels like it's like hurtling a bunch of different accusations.
It's as if like someone is making Portia divorce.
Right. Someone. But yeah. Because she's not of sound mind, like I don't understand.
Yeah. This is.
What if it's Phaedra again? What if it's Phaedra, behind it all again?
Friggin' frack. They're back together.
She pulls the hood back and she's back on Atlanta again. Like,
oh my God. I'm excited for that. Oh yeah. I'm excited to keep my eyes peeled for Atlanta. But over in another city, I'm going to say we have two One True Queens this week, a combination of Kristen Wiig and the lady she names. So Kristen Wiig recently did an interview with Hollywood Reporter. It's a long piece, but in it, it says, she has some relatable pastimes, like watching nearly every show in the Real Housewives franchise. Her favorite character is New Jersey's Dolores Catania, who, quote unquote, just seems like someone who would be a good hang and a good friend.
You know Kristen Wiig's a real one when she pulls out Dolores as a favorite. She's not just going to say like Luann or whatever. Like it's, that's, like, you know who else would be good at the Traitors is Dolores.
Ooh. Ooh.
I think she'd be on it.
Yeah. I mean, she...
She'd be a good faithful.
She's a badass. Like, she could do it. I think so.
Yeah.
We do need some Jersey representation on Traitors. We need Potomac. Yes. We need...
But, like, non-Teresa Jersey representation. Because you know that that's who they'll probably try and go for first is, like, I don't think Teresa would be a good fit. And the same with that Johnny Bananas wasn't a good fit. Where it's like... Mm. Too much of the oxygen leaves the room when you're in there.
Too cartoony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe, thank you once again,
Dan,
for joining us.
This was lovely. Send Brendan my regards, of course. I hate to miss him, but
I know.
This was great.
Remind us again where people can check you out.
Sure. My podcast that I co-host with Chris File is This Had Oscar Buzz. We also have a Patreon if you want to support us at This Had Oscar, patreon.com/thishadoscarbuzz. We're on Instagram at This Had Oscar Buzz. We're on Twitter at had_Oscar_buzz. I'm at vulture.com. You can find me on the socials at Joe Reed. That's my handle on all of the socials. And Great.
Well, thank you for joining us again. Can't wait to have you back on again soon. Hopefully me, you, and Brendan will do it all
absolutely
together.
Have me on for Jersey. Like once like Jersey gets like really into it. Cause I like got back on board in a big way with Jersey last season.
Oh, so. And it's hard. Cause like, I feel like not everyone is a Jersey fan. So it's good to have someone like you who appreciates it.
Okay, good.
So head on over to comethroughqueen.com for links to everything. And we'll see you again next week. Like, comment, subscribe, partial retweet. Bye.
I wanna see ya come through, queen.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.